Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we're going to kick off this hour in style with my friend from across the pond. Roz from the UK is with us on Scuba Radio. Roz, how are you? Long time no chat.
I'm fine, thank you, Greg. How are you?
I am swell. All right, so look, you know, it's been a while since we chatted. You know, we're having our monthly little check-in. But I caught you at a very good time, from what I hear, because you're literally packing your gear now. Am I right? For another adventure?
Right.
Where are you going?
I'm going up to Scotland. I'm going to go and dive out of the Sound of Mull, which is it's iconic British diving. But the Sound of Mull, it feeds into Scotland. It's a big navigable channel. And a lot of ships are using it for a sheltered shortcut. And sometimes one of them sinks.
Okay.
And so it's a good place to go and go and dive shipwrecks. So,
All right.
My lounge is full at the moment of rebreathers and bits and dry suits. And
well, excellent. Well, dry suits, so I'm guessing the water is going to be very cold. So what kind of water temp
about
are we talking? Yeah.
I think it's, well, it's warmer than fresh water at the moment. So I think it's going to be about 10 degrees C. So that's about 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ouch. Roughly. Okay. Definitely dry suit. Now, even with a dry suit, that is cold, isn't it, Roz? I mean, what do you do to stay warm?
Yes.
Do you got like a heater inside that thing? Are you wearing long johns or what?
No, it's good thermals. I've got Fourth Element, no, 3 thermals, so I'll be fine.
Okay.
And we're diving off a converted fishing vessel. And so, you know, you come back on board and you've got mugs of hot chocolate and they do mm-hmm. very good soup and they feed you very well. And, you know, it's give you cake.
Cake?
Okay.
Cake. You can dive and have your cake at the same time or, well, right after. Good. I like it.
After diving. So
yes.
Perfect.
How deep are we talking then? Are these wrecks?
It's only about 30 meters. So
okay.
That's what, 100 foot.
Yeah, 90 feet thereabouts.
And
yeah.
We're going to go and dive for Hispania.
Okay.
Which I can't wait to do. She's beautiful. She's upright. She's intact. She's beginning to fall bits now. But she's covered in plumose anemones.
Mm.
So it's like somebody has gone and covered the wreck in big fur rugs because these are filter feeders and they come out and they've got these, you know, like feathery tentacles which are feeding. And,
cool.
Oh, she's ever so pretty.
Yeah. Now you're going to go down there on a rebreather. And are you going to do like, well, at 100 feet, you'll probably be able to dive for like 2 or 3 hours on a rebreather at any one time.
No, I'm not diving that long on her. It'll probably be about 40 minutes, maybe an hour dive on her.
All right. So you're going to go short, but just go down there and hang out for a little while. Are you taking pictures and stuff? Or what?
Yeah, people are going to be taking cameras. It's a tidal wreck. So you can only dive her at certain states of the tide.
Ah, okay.
And basically you have got to be up and down within a key time. Otherwise, when you're coming up, the shot line that you're on, it's like a guitar string. It starts vibrating with the tide and you hang on to it and you're like a flag flapping.
Uh-huh.
So you are limited on your time on her from a safe, you know, from a tidal point of view.
So you have to dive it at slack tide so you can get in and out of this area and dive the wreck safely, is what you're saying, I guess, right?
Yes, that, Yeah, that's correct, Greg. You've got thunderous tides going down the Sound of Mull. And the reason that Hispania is so pretty and so covered in so much life is because she's hit by big tides.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always up and down the shot line, and you've only got a set amount of time on the wreck.
Right.
So now, you just make the most of it. And she's beautiful.
Well, yeah, it sounds like a pretty interesting dive. Now, the history of it is what exactly? Where? How did it get down there?
Right. So she was built in Belgium, and she was launched in 1912. And she was a cargo ship. And on the 18th of December, she hit a reef in a storm. She was heading to Sweden from Liverpool. And she was going through the Sound of Mull, and she hit Big Rock. And she started to list.
Hmm.
Now, this is the fun bit. It's a little bit sad. The order was given to abandon ship, and the crew lowered the lifeboat and rowed to shore. And everybody got off apart from a captain. And Captain Dan refused to leave a ship and chose to go down with it. And the other 20 crew were saved. And it's all a bit sad, really, that he could have quite happily, you know, got off and been safe and carried on living his life. But he chose to go down with the ship. And kind of, what good did that do anybody, really?
Yeah, not really. Other than saying, you know, he had a noble end as a captain, I guess. That's about it.
Yeah, but wouldn't you prefer to have a noble end sitting at home in front of a fire with your pipe and slippers when you're
99? Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. It sounds like there might be more to this story. I don't know. But as far as what you do when you go down and dive a wreck like this, you're not one of the photographers. You just go down to explore for your personal enjoyment or what?
I go down to explore and enjoy it, yes.
So you just love the challenge of going down there and seeing all the cool things, all the anemones and all that kind of stuff. Is it a history?
Yes.
Is history drawing you to it as well? Or is it just the whole vibe?
It's a mix of things, Greg. It's a pretty dive. She's a historic wreck. It's a challenging dive.
Yeah.
And I'll end up probably modeling anybody anyway for someone. So
yeah.
It's a mixture of several things. It's just a traditional dive this weekend because we do certain dives on the music weekend, and it just makes you look at the wrecks at least once a year and appreciate what state they're in, have they deteriorated, have they changed,
right.
What's the visibility like compared with last year, has the marine life changed, is there something new, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's a good way of a baseline on the wrecks anyway.
Mm-hmm. So it's a big music weekend, you said. So topside somewhere, they have a big concert venue set up and a bunch of local bands are playing, but you're out on a boat diving the wreck. Is that what's happening or what?
Yeah, well, we're going down to Mull, which is an island, and on Mull is Tobermory, and you have Tobermory in Canada where you've got wreck diving, and you have Tobermory there. And it's a very... the old-fashioned word of gaily painted, you know, bright-coloured painted houses and pubs and shops.
Okay.
And it's really pretty.
Gay painted.
And you get
that's
lots of local
that's
bands.
How you described it, gay painted?
Yeah, right. But the old-fashioned version of gay, you know, gaily painted rather than the current one.
You mean like bright colors like you would see in the Caribbean,
yes.
The Bahamas and stuff, all the different colored buildings and stuff. All right. I never heard of them.
Pinks and blues.
Okay,
and
pastels, that kind of stuff. Gaily painted. All right, and we mean that in a good way. So
yes.
That's fine. Okay. And I don't think there's any other way to take it. That's it's a good way. But interesting. Okay. So you got that and you're going to dive that particular wreck. Are there other places you're going to as well? Is that the only wreck you're diving and you'll just do a dive or
no,
two on
No, we're
that?
Diving a number. But, you know, we definitely got Hispania penciled. And hopefully we'll go off to Canna, which is another little island. And we'll do the wall on Canna because that gets a lot of life on it as well.
Yeah.
And the wall just goes to some silly depth, like 100 meters. But it's not the depth that we're diving it for. It's because of the life. Because it gets fed by so many currents. You've got lots of nutrients in the currents. You get lots of animals. So you've got a ton of life on this wall. And it's just a spectacular wall to just dive and watch.
But you're not doing the one down to 300 meters. You're not going
No, it will just bimble it about 20 meters because there's no point in going deep. You stay shallow, stay long.
That's right. There you go. Even with a rebreather. I mean, you could do 100 feet.
Yeah.
You could do 30 meters. you know, on a rebreather and stay down for 3 hours if you wanted, couldn't you? It depends
on
the
10 degrees water, Greg.
I'm not that cold. Okay. Yeah, I hear you. She's a cold water wuss. Is there such a thing? No, I don't think so.
I can be, yes.
You can be. Okay, well, at least, you know, we found out something new about Roz from the UK. You know, I'm a warm water wuss. She's a cold water wuss. You don't really like that title, do you?
I will take whatever title you wish to give me, Greg.
Oh, no, you won't, young lady. We have a radio show to do, and if I started throwing out other names and stuff, we probably wouldn't be allowed back on the air next week. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, certainly.
Okay.
But it's worth Googling up some pictures of a Hispania.
Yes,
and seeing what she's like.
I have no doubt. All right, look, we got more with Roz from the UK. We'll talk about some diving industry news from across the pond next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Jackie and Peter are fun. They go to concerts. They are both getting their scuba licenses.
Don't like scuba people. I'm a dry land guy.
I know how you feel about fish people.
No, fish people are the worst, okay?
I think you should give it to me.
Scuba,
scuba.
What?
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
You know me.
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
That was a party.
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
I agree. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I got Roz from the UK on with us right now from across the pond. All right, so she's doing some diving this week, which is great to hear, and she's following her passion to go dive some wrecks and probably take in some bands too. I guess you'll work some music into your surface interval while you're diving that particular area of the world, I guess, right, Roz?
Yes.
Okay.
It's good to get off a boat occasionally and you know go and have a dance and
yes,
have a small
go have
beer
a dance. Exactly. That's just part of the whole thing. It's part of the experience. But let's talk about the diving news, because that's where she really excels. She goes and has her little adventures and dive things, but she is really plugged in when it comes to, you know, diving news, especially from that part of the world and in the tech diving world or rebreather world. And I know you have some news in that regard when it comes to who got this year's Rolex Diver of the Year Award. Am I right? Can we share that?
Yeah, That's right. I've heard from Dan that it's going to be Jared Jablonski this year, which is really good news. Waiting to hear get the press release. But congratulations, Jared. Nicely done.
He's a great guy. And boy, he is he's quite the tech diver or rebreather. He does all kinds of crazy extreme stuff, or he used to. And I assume he still does. I mean, I know he does. I see his stuff pop up on Facebook all the time.
He's very active, and he's made... I think that he's put cool into scuba the way that, you know, sorting out your buoyancy so you're very flat in the water and being able to rotate in the water and swim backwards, you know, fin backwards in the water.
Yeah, he's a buoyancy maniac.
It's great that divers have got that to aim for, to get flat and sort their buoyancy out and be able to move in such a precise way underwater.
Yeah, I never heard it described that way, but you're saying having expert buoyancy control is like getting flat. You got to be careful how you say that, because here in the States, if you say, hey, you should get flat, you know, a diver might take that as a come on. You hear what I'm saying, Roz? Or do you follow me? You get my drift there or no?
About time you learned to speak English, Greg.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what we do here. Sometimes we try to bridge that communication gap that we sometimes have between the two cultures, and usually it goes way south. But anyway, we'll just leave it lie. But there you go. I want to get flat, or I need to improve my flatness. I don't know. Once again, buoyancy is, I think, what she's talking about, and that's good enough for me. Now, okay, so Jared got the Diver of the Year Award, and obviously he's been around for a while, but hats off to him. But you were telling me at the commercial break there's someone over there. Is he over there in the UK, a young diver who's making waves in the tech diving world, or what?
He's going to make waves. His name's Robert Thomas. His father's Mike. Now, I met Mike in 96, and he introduced me to twin sets and Nitrox when this was really beginning to be cutting, you know, tech was coming into its old in the UK.
Okay, yeah, back in the day when Nitrox was known as the devil's gas. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but then now it's all mainstream.
Well, anyway, so, he has a son called Robert. Robert's now 18, and basically Robert's been cycling. He's been competitively pump cycling for a while.
Okay.
But he does a lot of climbing. Mike introduced him to diving, and Robert loves it. And the deal is that if Robert wants to do a course, he can do a course, but he has to do a set number of dives after each course. And it's not going to quarry, swim around for 20 minutes, come out. It's, you know, going and planning diving and getting into the sea and going diving wrecks and doing drift dives, that kind of thing. So it's proper executed real world diving.
Okay.
So that he gets the most out of his next course. Now, he's just qualified as a full cave diver. He's joined the cave diving group, and he's being mentored in that in the UK. This is the oldest diving club in the world, the cave diving group. It was formed in, I think, 1945.
Wow. Okay.
And British cave diving is completely different to Floridian cave diving, because mostly it's a lot of caving with a tiny bit of diving, and the tiny bit of diving is normally through quite tight passageway where the visibility is really down or no visibility whatsoever.
It's not like you have the springs that we have in Florida or the Yucatan.
It's nothing like Ginny or anything like that, where you've got this gorgeous big cavern where you could drive London buses down it. This is flat out tight. And you're normally going through sumps to be able to get to the next bit of cave to carry on dry caving to keep on exploring. Robert's going to be somebody to watch for. He's quite interesting.
So he's doing this rebreather stuff too, or is he just doing tri-mix?
He's just about to. He's going to be diving JJCCR, So he, that's the rebreed of choice for him. And yes, it's going to be interesting seeing how he develops.
Well, 18 years old.
In 20 years.
Yeah, he's very young to be having that level of certification already. So obviously he's on a fast track to become like a super diver. It sounds like he already is.
No, he's really not. He's not on a fast track. That's the whole point, Greg. He's done a lot of diving from starting from when he was 10. And he's been very gently, carefully nurtured, and he's learned at his own speed. There's not been no fast-tracking, no hot housing. This has been proper experience, not a fast track at all.
Okay. He started when he was really young, and here he is only 18, and he's accomplished all this stuff. But no hot housing. Has been going on.
No hot housing. That's the whole point about this.
What the heck is hot housing?
Training, proper experience.
Can you translate that from your English there? Hot housing. What does that mean exactly?
Hot housing is when you put a plant into a greenhouse or a hot house and it grows very quickly.
Ah, okay.
It's
all right.
Forced to grow fast.
Fair enough. Okay. That makes sense.
Hot housing.
Okay. See, we're learning all kinds of cool stuff. Today on the big show. I love it. See, and that's the thing with Raj. You never know what you're going to come across. Now, actually, I was watching a TV show here in the States, The Curse of Civil War Gold, and our buddy John Chatterton was on it last week. And they were talking about the issues. They were going to dive deep in the Great Lakes, and they brought up a word called the chokes that I have not really heard when it comes to decompression sickness in the bends. We're going to talk about that next with Ross from the UK on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I got Roz from the UK with me. We're just talking about lingo and stuff. She always teaches me these things from across the pond, whether it's a hothouse or whatever, and we learn these terms and translate them accordingly on the big show. And I figured maybe she could help me out with this one that I saw on The Curse of Civil War Gold that featured John Chatterton this past week. And, they were talking about his dive that he did in Great Lakes. It was a really cool episode, by the way. I'm sure it's up there on repeat, so you can just look it up on the History Channel if you're in the States, or maybe you can even find it online if you're over in the UK like Roz. But they were talking about the risks involved with scuba diving that we see on these shows all the time. And we hear about, the decompression sickness, the bends, and narrator guy comes on, he says, yes, he must be careful about if he comes up too close, he could suffer for things like the chokes. And I'm like, what? The chokes? What are they? Have you heard the term the chokes when it comes to decompression sickness before, Roz? Okay.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have. And I think it is subcutaneous emphysema. It's where you get, sub is under. Cutaneous is skin.
Yeah.
I think it's where you get bubbles under the skin around the throat. And I think that's what's referred to as the chokes,
okay.
But it is decompression illness.
Yeah, it affects breathing and stuff like that, I guess. But yeah, I've heard of like commercial diver issues, and he's kind of using a commercial diving setup. So that's kind of in that whole technical world of terminology that's a little beyond my reach sometimes, but kind of figured it out in the context. I just hadn't heard of that term, the chokes. I mean, I've heard of skin bends and the niggles, which is like a slight bends hit and it affects your joints and your hand and things like that. But these are things technical divers or commercial divers deal with. They're beyond the recreational dive limit that we don't usually
I think this is a historic term, Greg, like 200-300 years old.
Yes.
I think it's a very old term.
They need to hip up their lingo, don't they, Roz? They need to call you to keep them current.
No, not really.
Well, Roz, we will catch up again soon, and we wish you the best of your dive this weekend, okay?
Thank you very much.
And we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Infotainment. We're lost children of the sea.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, on the phone, it's time to get into legislative affairs. And my go-to guy in Tallahassee, Florida, is our buddy Bob Harris, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. And, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago about the Goliath grouper and how there is an assault underway once again on trying to open up Goliath grouper to fishing. And Bob is the guy up there, you know, working with the politicians to try to head this stuff off with the Florida Wildlife Commission, and is on Scuba Radio right now. Bob, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, so first off, let's get the date out there right away. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's this coming week, I believe, right? What is the date again?
It's Thursday, April 26th.
Okay.
It'll be down in Fort Lauderdale. Don't remember exactly the hotel. I can find it, but it's in the morning of the 26th is when this is supposed to be on the agenda for the commission.
All right, so that's the Florida Wildlife Commission, and if you're in the state of Florida, you want to try to get to the meeting if at all possible and voice your concerns about the possibility of opening up the Goliath grouper to fishing once again. It's been closed down for, like, I don't know, what, 10 years or at least, or thereabouts?
It's actually been since 1990, because okay, they were so incredibly devastated. It's been that long, and so for good reason. They were just wiped off the face of the earth, frankly, be overfishing.
Yeah, it used to be the big go-to fish that all the divers would see all over the place, and they have come back. You can go to several places in Florida and see them on wrecks and stuff, but it's the classic argument of, you know, these animals are way more valuable alive than dead. You know, you could apply that to sharks in the Bahamas, and that's been proven time and time again. They're worth so many thousands of dollars in tourism dollars for the local economy. But just from a purely from a aesthetic point of view as a scuba diver, I love seeing groupers. And they're one of the coolest and friendliest, you know, fish in the sea. And I don't really understand why people would want to go take them out, especially when they're so big. These things are massive. Sometimes, but you know, they're not as big as they used to be back in the day when you saw all these pictures of spear fishermen getting their picture taken with them and the fish were bigger than them. They still got some growing left to do. But the argument for opening up the fishery is that they've come back to a point where, okay, they're there now. Let's go kill them again. And that's, I don't know. Just because they're there, it doesn't mean you should go kill them. Are you with me on this? I assume you are, right, Bob?
Yeah, 100%. And you've touched on everything, right? The problem is, because they were so wiped out and because it took time for them to come back, and they're still not back. If you attended any of these meetings that the Fish and Wildlife Commission held around the state, they had 10 to 12 of them. Each time they got up and presented information themselves that showed that it really has not come back to the point where it was prior to them being wiped out. That to me, I equate these things with manatees. If you think about it, all the qualities of a manatee and why people want to protect manatees, they're slow moving, meaning that they're subject to being, if someone open season on manatees, you could easily take them all out.
Yeah.
They're slow moving, slow growth. They don't reproduce very quickly. They're easy targets, all those kinds of things. They're great to look at. They're great to be around. The only difference between a manatee and a grouper, in my opinion, is one is below the water, one is at the top of the water. Mm. People enjoy looking at manatees. Divers under the water enjoy these incredible creatures. I'll never forget being in the Bahamas on a shark dive, and when the shark dive was over, I'd sit there on the bottom, and I turned around, and there was a grouper just about 10 feet behind me and just looking at me, and it made the whole thing. Sharks were great, but being able to be that close and seeing that thing up close was just was remarkable. And if season opens up, even a limited harvest, which is what the staff is talking about, they will be gone overnight. Because people will go take them no matter what they do. They'll see it as permission for them to be taken, and they will be gone off those racks and will not see them again for another 30 years.
Yeah, easy pickings for sure. And you know, it's funny. You have that experience that you reflect on. I did it as well. And the Caymans, one of my first big dives as an open water certified diver, I had an encounter with a Nassau grouper on one of the wrecks off of Grand Cayman. And this thing had been somewhat accustomed to divers and literally swam right up to me. I reached out and kind of tickled his belly, and he kind of turned and go, "Oh, yeah, that's it. That's me." And, you know, and it was just like a magical encounter. I was like, I could sense the personality in this fish. And from that day forward, I literally never ate grouper again. I mean, maybe I cheated once or twice. I don't, but very little. I was just like, gosh, I can't eat this thing. They're just too cool. They're really, you know, interesting little critters to hang with underwater. So, you know, there's that personal side of it as a diver, and you want to protect those kind of animals, or it kind of changes your perception of wanting to eat them when you have, you know, an encounter like that. But those Goliath grouper, you know, the Jewfish is what we called them back in the day. I mean, you see these pictures from back in the 60s when the spear fishermen took these things and had them as trophies. I mean, they were massive. They were way bigger than the manatees. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they were huge.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem, Greg, is like everything else nowadays, it's sort of like the sharks. If they're big, they want to take them. It's that trophy mentality. And that's why if the Fish and Wildlife Commission succumbs to this goal of fishermen to take them again, they will be gone very, very quickly because they are a trophy. Even if they're not as big as when my dad was in the water, your dad was in the water, they're still big. And spear fishermen will want to take them, and fishermen will want to take them. They'll hold them up for pictures with next to their kids, and they will be gone. And the Fish and Wildlife Commission will not be able to explain to the public why this happened. And again, unfortunately, they'll just have to wait another 30 years before they come back. And that's really sad. And so, and I don't think the staff of the commission really fully understands. In fact, I think I'm going to file an amendment next year in the legislature to change the name of the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, which is their name, to the Fish and Wildlife Fishing Angling Association.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clearly the fish anglers have their hook into the commission.
Well, anybody who's watched this stuff firsthand, and I learned it back in the day with my buddy Bob when we had to deal with the whole shark feeding issue around the year 2000. I mean, it's an eye-opening experience when you get into the politics involved in this stuff, and there is no bigger lobby than the fishing lobby. And look, I don't disagree with what they are doing, trying to protect their rights to fish and all that kind of good stuff. But as you will see, when you get into those political environments, you realize, like, this stuff isn't being based on science or fact. It's being based on, you know, backdoor deals and lobbying and all kinds of crazy stuff that kind of you scratch your head like, wait a minute, I thought these guys were supposed to be, like, listening to science and using a little common sense. It's, I'm not so sure. It's like that. It's a little scary.
No, it is scary, but you remember, Greg, the last time we had a huge impact on the Fish and Wildlife Commission and their decisions was years ago when a lot of divers showed up at a Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting, said no, they didn't want the commission to ban shark feeding at that time,
right.
And there were 200 or 300 people in that room all saying the same thing, and the commission then, at that point, listened. They realized overwhelmingly there was support for that concept. But we need to do the same thing on the 26th. If they don't see anybody there, they're going to assume it's a non-issue, and they're going to go along with the fishermen who are pushing them. We won't see it as many of those fishermen, but they'll be pushing them as they have been to open up this season.
Right. Now, this is a Florida state issue right now, but you could make your voice heard even if you're outside of the state of Florida. I would assume if you can't make the meeting Thursday morning because you don't live here, they are taking comments from at least Florida residents or from people all around the world about this online or what, Bob?
Yeah, yeah. Anyone can submit comments to that, and just go to the myfwc.com website and find the meeting and those the issue of Goliath Grouper, and you can submit comments, written comments, directly to the commissioners and the staff of the commission. So it's very important that people speak. If they don't, then again, I'm afraid it's just going to go the way it has gone in the past, and they're just going to open up that season, and we'll see less of these creatures, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you speak on behalf of the Florida Goliath Grouper. You know, you're their voice because they can't speak. We got to speak up for them, you know. And and I got to tell you, they are so cool to see. And you can never see too many of them. And that's the thing. I hear all this anecdotal evidence like, oh, I was fishing and Goliath Grouper came up and ate my fish. And you'll see these YouTube videos like that. And all of a sudden they start whining like, oh, there's too many of them. We can't even reel our fish up anymore. Well, that's happened forever. You know, they just happen to be there. And if they, you know, find an easy meal by someone reeling in a, you know, a dolphin or something, or a mahi, and a grouper comes in and snags your fish, it's no different than a shark. And we see what happens to the shark. They get abused as well. So, you know, this is kind of a problem, an ongoing problem. We've got to keep our eyes out. Bob does great work up in Tallahassee here representing divers. And once again, it's this Thursday morning, Florida Wildlife Commission. Be involved. We got more with Bob next, talking about hammerhead sharks. Stay close.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio,
the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
When you want fun, just read a page from my dive log book. I used to say, live and let live.
You know you did, you know you did, you know you did.
But in this underwater, said, live and let's dive.
Live and let's dive.
I said, live and let's dive.
Live and let's dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, joined by my buddy Bob Harris up in Tallahassee. He oversees legislative affairs that affect us divers and the critters we love to go see underwater. Now, we just talked about the Goliath Grouper, big meeting this Thursday. If you can get involved and go to the meeting, do so. Make your voice heard. Speak up for the Goliath Grouper. And hopefully we'll head off another assault on this cool animal that divers love to see, including myself and probably you too, if you've ever seen one. However, the other thing is sharks. You know, sharks get a bad rap. We are always defending them as divers. We love seeing them underwater, but they are constantly under assault from Hollywood, from mainstream media, oh my gosh, you're going to eat us and all that kind of stuff. As divers, we know that's not the case. We go out of our way to try to find these animals. But there's another big story in the news, and it happens to be in Florida again, too, I guess, where some football players from, at least one of them from the Denver Broncos, went out and went on a sport fishing trip and caught a hammerhead shark, Bob. Is that right?
That's correct. It was a Denver Bronco, Von Miller. There's a lot of video posted about it. And what they did was they caught a hammerhead shark and dragged that thing unnecessarily on the boat, took their selfies, took the video, with the intent of doing whatever they could to abuse that hammerhead. And as you all know, because of the unique nature of hammerheads, the fact that it was out of the water that long, the fact that its heart rate gets up so high, when they released it, and I use the word release just because that's what they called it, when they released it, it basically sank at that point in time and probably died. So it's really very, very sad.
Yeah, you know, after that that viral video of the guys dragging the shark there a few months ago or last year from the dude from MTV. I mean, there was a big backlash. He took all kinds of heat from it, which was amazing to see, actually, how the diver spoke up and animal rights people spoke up. Even Governor Rick Scott, said, hey, this has to stop. We can't be treating our marine resources like this. I was like, wow, there's some hope after all. But then this pops up, and it's like more of the same, except that it's a little bit more on the mainstream fishing side of things of people that go out shark fishing off of a fancy yacht. And, once again, I don't have a problem with that, but there's responsible fish catch and release, and there's, ridiculous catch and release, which is what this seems to be an example of. Because, certain types of sharks in particular, like you said, are very sensitive to being taken out of the water. And in this case, they were like taking them out of the water and getting their selfie with them so they put it up on Facebook. And now it's backfired on them because now they're getting a bunch of heat from people who know better and want to stop this kind of nonsense. So, hammerhead sharks are rare breed in their own right. And I guess maybe that's part of the reason they were going after them. They felt like, oh my gosh, it's such a cool looking shark. We got to get our picture taken with it. But geez, a selfie is a selfie. Come on, right?
Yeah, exactly. To me, I remember the days when we'd go fishing and we would catch things, and the thrill was the catch. The thrill was all of that tugging. But now, with the advent of Facebook and all those things and video and the ability to capture video by length, it's now gone to another entire level. And the only loser, unfortunately, is people who know and enjoy these species and know what they're subject to and the species itself. Hammerheads are one of the top three most unique creatures in the ocean. Everybody knows when you see a hammerhead what it is. And it's is very, very unique. And so it's almost like that bravado, that macho that comes in. If you catch one of those, you've got to have your picture with it, no matter what happens to that incredibly beautiful creature. It doesn't matter. You're going to take yourself and it doesn't matter what damage you do to it. And that's, again, that's all in violation of existing law. And the only question is, will the Fish and Wildlife Commission ever, ever, ever take the position that they need to protect that species rather than protect the rights of the fishermen to do whatever they want once they catch it? That's the sad part.
Yeah, now there's a big meeting this Thursday. Are they addressing some of that, or there's going to be some public comments for people who are like, hey, what are you going to do after these guys posted this video and killed this hammerhead for no reason or no good reason?
Yeah, there has been some really, really good work being done by a handful of people down on the East Coast who have, on a daily basis, provided photos, video, Facebook pictures of what these people are doing to the sharks. So the Von Miller thing is not the only thing where this is happening. It's happening so many other places. And every time this occurs, when these people post it on Facebook, it's being provided directly to the commission. Now, they're having a meeting on the two-day meetings for the Fish and Wildlife Commission is the 25th and 26th. Hmm. On the morning of the 25th, at some point in time on that day, they will be hearing the issue of sharks. And I have to tell you, Greg, one of the things the commission staff has done is give an overall picture of sharks. And one of the things they've raised again is shark feeding, somehow trying to point the finger back at divers who want to see these creatures in the water. But that meeting, that discussion will occur on the 25th, and the discussion Goliath Grouper will occur on Thursday the 26th. So 2 days full of meetings of things that are interest to divers.
Well, there you go. Well, Bob's keeping a handle on it for us, but once again, you need to get involved yourself if you care, and as a diver, you should, whether it's groupers, sharks, or just the underwater world, period. And it's good to have you on the team, Bob, and we'll keep you on it, and we'll do what we can. And that'll have to wrap it up for this week's edition of The Big Show. Till next time, remember, it is always better down where it's wetter. Safe diving, everyone.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.